Brothers and sisters in Christ, Mark Twain certainly knew how to make people laugh, but he had a dark side to himself as well. And that comes through in a number of his pieces, including one called Facts Concerning a Recent Carnival of Crime in Connecticut. In this short story, a man has been told that his aunt is coming for him, so he looks forward with joy, but then he starts realizing that his aunt has been the one who has always continually reminded him of what he's done wrong. Before the aunt arrives at the door, there's a knock, and what shows up is a little dwarf who actually is his conscience, who's now been brought alive because of the reminiscence of his aunt. And that dwarf continually reminds him of what he has done wrong, and he gets to be so much on his case that finally he gets tired of listening to conscience, and the man in the story goes and murders the dwarf. And the story ends this way. Since that day, my life is all bliss, unalloyed bliss. Nothing in all the world could persuade me to have a conscience again. You can kill your conscience by ignoring it. You can make it calloused and insensitive to those around you. Ignore it or stop instructing it by the Word of God. And apparently when John wrote this epistle, there were teachers out there who had that same kind of an effect. And our old Adam has that same effect upon us. There was apparently a form of Gnosticism, early heresy, and these Christians were being convinced by that teaching that they had no sin within them. They had what? Been liberated because of Jesus Christ, so they were free to live their lives the way they wanted to. And so John penned these words to them. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We're all prone to underestimate the power of sin in its many forms. The Bible has any of a number of words that talk about different kinds of sins, and I wonder how many times don't we just forget about all these things that really mark us out as sinners. Missing the mark is one of those words, where we just fail to hit what we're shooting for. We know what it means to be perfect, but we don't hit it. God expects perfection. So if we're not even there, if we're close to it but not fully there, we have sinned. Or what about when we fail in our dealings with God or our neighbor? Or we deliberately withhold from God the prayer that He has taught us to pray without ceasing? Or carrying out service to others, helping our neighbor in need? How about sins of omission? Avoiding doing what we ought to do. If we think we don't have sin, maybe it's because we haven't been thinking about it much. But there are those times when we purposely go out of our way to try to hurt people. That old Adam rises up and then we catch ourselves. But not before we've maybe posted something on the internet. We've become a troll. The troll within us has become the troll on the web. Or what about when we simply fail to hear what God says, and then out of ignorance, we sin? In Vietnam, everyone who was a pilot of the Cobra gunships knew that when you returned from a combat mission, you must always put this heavy bullet catcher on the front of what looked like a Gatling gun, 5 barrels. Because if you twisted it with your hand, even if the helicopter was turned off, there were 5 rounds that were lodged within, and they would go firing off. So you always put that. But I witnessed one time a pilot make one mistake, forgot to put it on, twisted it, and within a minute, he had killed somebody with the murdered manslaughter. What is it when you kill somebody? He had just made a slight mistake, and yet this man died as a result of it. It was so strange one day flying into an airport north of Milwaukee to come in there and to find that same man flying a helicopter. He'd been given 30 days off of flying, but then didn't pay any time. All of us are guilty. It's funny, at the a temple of Apollo at Delphi, there was this inscription that said, "Know thyself." And Plato, in at least six of his dialogues, dealt with that. And yet, what did Jeremiah write? "Our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it?" It's the sins we don't know about, because that's how lost we are in our condition. That is the problem. Or as David said, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from hidden faults." We all have what psychologists have called a Jahiri window, where there are people who see us for things that we don't see. If we deny what the Bible teaches is sin, then we are like those following the Pied Piper. Our culture is right now seeking to define away sin in many places. Are we going to follow the Pied Piper of culture, or are we going to follow Christ and call sin, sin? If we deny what the Bible teaches is sin, John writes, the truth is not in us. And in one fell swoop, we have become children of the devil, who we recall as the father of not truth, but lies. The Word of God calls us to true repentance, to contrition and sorrow and terror over all of our sins. And as Advent Christians, to live in solemn anticipation and spiritual preparation for the coming of Christ, realizing that, and here's the good news of Christmas in verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As Advent Christians, we are living in the season not only of repentance, but of hope, knowing that God has made promises to all of us who place their faith in Jesus Christ to forgive us our sins. And if your conscience bothers you because of past sins committed, unlike the character in Twain's story, because you have been unfaithful, then remember the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, He, God, remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Jesus Christ is our Savior from all sin. Not only is God faithful, but He is just. He has not overlooked our sin or any others, but He calls upon us to turn away from it, to truly repent, and to behold grace in Christmas, in the gospel. For he dealt with our sin righteously and effectually through the atoning sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. He took away our sin through Christ. And He gives us the greatest gift of Christmas that we can ever receive, the forgiveness of sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. Our writer today wrote just two verses before these verses today. And by faith and hope in that Christ we have delivered to us, signified by the purple and the blue, the advent of our King, forgiveness of sins guaranteed to us by His resurrection from the dead. And we have with it a quiver of promises that create faith and hope and love, and that really say to us today, be happy. That's the message of Christmas. Amen.
Let us pray.
Stir up, we beseech you, your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins, and be saved by your mighty deliverance, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Depart in peace. Amen.